questioning the vaccines and the tough job ahead for vaccination teams, and one man's diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, how he's facing it head on in the cities. Everyone facing a life-changing medical diagnosis deals with it in their own way. We talk with a man who says Parkinson's disease has given him a new mission in life. But first, another medical mission. We're now told there's plenty of COVID-19 vaccines available, despite extra caution being used with the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Tens of millions of people have gotten the Moderna, the Pfizer, or the J&J shots. Even so, tens of millions of other people still need to be vaccinated, and some of them have little intention of getting the shot. I talked with Scott County Health Department Clinical Services Manager Roma Taylor about this latest phase in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. You can understand that, is that people are hearing all this information day in and day out, and that they're just tired of it all and just don't want to have anything to do with COVID or the vaccine.
That is very understandable, but we just need people to just hang on a little longer. Now that we have the vaccine in the community and there are multiple sites where people can get vaccine, we just need people to get out there and get their vaccine so that we can try to get our lives back to some normalcy.
Is that the case now, though? Because if you think of the first of the year, you had lines. You had people trying to beat down the doors to get a vaccine. And now you're asking people to come in. Have we reached kind of that point where, all right, these are the people that really wanted the shot. Now we got to coax everyone else to do it.
In the beginning, we did not have enough vaccine that we were receiving into the state. And so we really had to limit who that vaccine was going to. We had to focus on our highest risk population, our elderly, and those with health conditions. Now that they've ramped up the production of the vaccine and that we have three different vaccines on the market, we're able to provide vaccine to anyone that wants it. There is vaccine available through many of our health agencies.
What is the pause, as they're calling it, of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine going to have as far as an impact is concerned? Because let's be honest, the majority of the shots you've been giving out are Pfizer and Moderna.
So the difference between the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccine is the Pfizer, Moderna, are there two-dose series. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a one-dose series. So for individuals that don't like to get shots, of course, they were hoping to hold out for the one shot and done. But we have a lot of Pfizer and Moderna vaccine in our community. Anybody that wants to get the two-dose series can get it.
Well, and Dr. Katz was pretty much saying that he believes the Johnson & Johnson pause, once again, I'm using that word, the temporary suspension, so to speak, of using the J&J vaccine will be very short-lived. And we're only talking about six. I don't want to diminish the six cases, but we're talking about six cases out of 7 million shots given.
Right. And I also ask people to think about individuals that are diagnosed with COVID disease. They also develop blood clots. And we know that there are more and more people diagnosed with the disease than have received the vaccine.
The six people that are reported to have gotten the blood clots are all women. I mean, is this something that you would suggest that women not get the J&J shot, that they should get the Pfizer and the Moderna shot just to be extra cautious?
So right now, because we don't want people waiting to see what's going to happen, with the J&J vaccine, I'm going to recommend that all women, all men, go ahead, make an appointment to get the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, and then we'll wait and see what the experts say next week.
As you said, the priority was the elderly, those people that were living in enclosed structures such as long-term facilities, and then you went out to the teachers and other people. That was your first big two waves of getting the vaccine. What have you seen now? I mean, do you see a number of cases still in long-term facilities, or do you notice that schools have been able to have a very successful school year without major breakouts of COVID-19?
Because we've been able to get our healthcare workers vaccinated, our long-term care residents and their staff vaccinated, we are seeing less and less cases in those areas. The schools, we are actually not seeing cases in the teachers. We are seeing cases in the students that can't be vaccinated.
And that's because so many of the teachers received the vaccination. Is that the way that you're seeing it right now? That's what you're thinking is what happened?
Right, because our teachers, they went to the clinics, they got their vaccine, but we don't have a vaccine for the young children under 16.
Health officials right now are concerned that the number of COVID cases, particularly hospitalizations of those 30 years old and younger, is really growing quickly. Is that another case that perhaps they've got the COVID fatigue, they're not being careful, and they also haven't gotten the vaccination?
Right. We know that younger individuals, they're getting tired, and we understand that. But it's important that they continue to take those precautions and get their vaccine so that we can prevent cases in that age group. It's important that they remember that if they're not getting vaccinated, then they're able to spread this to our younger children, but also to those people with high-risk chronic diseases that have not been vaccinated yet. And those are the people that are going to get very, very ill.
When we look at the numbers right now, and I know that you guys are looking at the numbers daily on how many people have COVID, who's getting the COVID, and how it compares to before. Dr. Katz is saying we're pretty much in a fourth wave that started about a month ago. And we've seen real big spikes. You think of the November spikes, that was very scary. Are you worried that as we go into spring that this fourth wave could get worse than what we're seeing right now?
I am worried because as the weather gets nice, people are out and about more. They're not taking the precautions of wearing their mask and social distancing. And for those individuals that are not vaccinated, that puts them at a higher risk and anyone that they're around at a higher risk.
So what is your suggestion right now? I mean, obviously, the continuation of masking up, the continuation of washing your hands and keeping social distancing, but also the getting that shot right away. But that shot isn't necessarily a panacea. It's not going to solve every problem.
No, it's not going to solve every problem. But it is going to help us to get closer to herd immunity in our community. And so the more people that get vaccinated, the more people that are protected, we do ask individuals to continue to wear their masks, continue to social distance when they can't be outside in open air, and also to just wash hands, do those things that keep them protected and safe.
When you're looking at trying to get more people vaccinated, you're dealing with people who are anti-vaxxers, and you're also dealing with people in minority communities that have a history of being wary, let's say, of vaccinations as well as a public health. What are you saying for this next phase to those people to get those shots when they're really hesitant to do that?
I tell people to do your research. Go to those reputable sites that have information like CDC, ask the questions, read the information. This vaccine is safe. We've had millions of people that have been vaccinated. We know that these are safe vaccines. It's important for us, if we want to get back to some normalcy, that everyone get vaccinated. But do your research.
Anita Ludwig with Rock Island County Health Department said, and I'll quote here, "We know you're tired of the pandemic, and we are too." Tell me about the situation for public health. This is something that you've been dealing with nonstop for 13, 14 months right now. When we're talking about the citizens being tired of COVID, you would think the clinical staff is as well.
Some days, yes, we do get tired, but we have to look at the big picture, and we have to remember that we just have to stay the course and keep sharing the information with people, keep encouraging them to get vaccinated, to wear their masks, to social distance, to wash hands. We can come through this if we all work together. We can get through this.
You yourself have been at this for 40 years in public health. You're retiring in May. First off, congratulations. You hung on for an extra year because you were going to retire last year because of COVID-19. This is like a career building moment that comes at the end of your career. Are you just surprised at how this pandemic actually became as bad, if not much worse, than some people thought it would be?
Yes, I am. In the beginning, I thought I was going to leave in June. I thought I'll stay to the end of the year when things start to quiet down. I thought that we'd get the education out there. We did the contact tracing. We did contact tracing in last summer 7 days a week. We contacted individuals to let them know they'd been exposed and what to do, what precautions to take. We provided education in our community as much as we could. And so I thought things really would slow down. And then in the fall, things actually got worse. And so we started talking about vaccinations and that a vaccine was coming and we wanted to get prepared for that. So I had had some experience planning H1N1 clinics in the community. And so I thought I could be of some help to help get the COVID clinics scheduled in our community. And so I stayed. Now that the COVID clinics are up and running, things are going great. We have community healthcare, we have Unity Point, we have Genesis, we have healthcare providers that are giving vaccine. And so there's multiple places where people can go and get vaccine and get protected. So I think it's time to go.
Scott County Health Department Clinical Services Manager Roma Taylor. In a moment, facing Parkinson's disease head on and asking you to join the fight. But first, Laura Adams is keeping tabs on the events opening up to the public despite the pandemic. This is your chance to go out and about.
This is Out and About through May 4th. On with the Show is a virtual trip through the 73-year history of Quad City Music Guild streaming through the 18th. The 2021 Geneseo Art Walk takes place April 17th, celebrating the local art community. The Church Basement Ladies in You Smell Barn continues to entertain on the Circa 21 stage through May 15th. Plus, Recycle the Runway will virtually support Dress for Success Quad Cities on the 22nd. Kane Brown, Chris Lane, and Russell Dickerson perform at the Tech Slayer Center the 22nd, while Ribco hosts the Pink Floyd Experiment April 23rd and 24th. Tom Foolery on Tremont presents comedy April 25th at 8, while Tammy Pescatelli brings the laugh at Rhythm City Casino on the 29th, or enjoy Wednesday night of live comedy at Open Mic Night at the Gypsy Highway. Join WQPT for a special online screening of Ken Burns' Hemingway April 27th at 6:30, followed by a Q&A with Hemingway biographer Mary Dearborn. Ballet Quad Cities present Alice in Wonderland at the Outing Club April 30th and May 1st. The Quad City Area Craft and Vendor Spring Show is coming May 1st at the Golden Leaf Banquet Center, while the Black Box Theater presents Love, Loss, and What I Wore April 22nd through May 1st at the Downtown Moline Theater. Plus, auditions for Playcrafters Barn Theater take place for Princeton's Rage April 17th and 18th. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
Thanks, Laura. Charlotte Boyer has become quite the star. As a young high school student, she started to take the stage locally to audiences who fell in love with her talents. But then she went much further, appearing on the NBC program The Voice just last month. We got a chance to share her talents when she came to the Black Box Theater in Moline to perform one of her original works. Here's Charlotte Boyer with Beginning to Feel the Blues.
When we were little kids, eating Lunchables and watching The Incredibles, but there ain't no more lunchtime to be had. Juice box is always empty, and the playground is trash. And the playground is trash. Now I'm beginning to feel the blues. 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 Riding on skateboards along the parking lot, playing hide and seek till it got dark. Dancing to the MJ CD, but now my friends don't wanna jam with me. Now I'm beginning to feel the blues. 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 blues. I'm beginning to feel the blues. People change and people run on, but still my life remains the same. People move and people grow up, but still my life will never change. I'm beginning to feel the blues. 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 'Cause things are not the same as they were before, and they are not my friends anymore. Things are not the same as they were before, and they are not my friends anymore.
Charlotte Boyer with Beginning to Feel the Blues. Parkinson's disease is not fatal, but it does put great strain on the body, as its symptoms include involuntary shaking, slow movement, and stiff, inflexible muscles. But it can also lead to anxiety and depression, so those who get the diagnosis often need a security net, a support system, an advocate even. Actor and performer Tom Vaccaro has found himself playing several roles, but this latest one, as a Parkinson's patient, maybe is most challenging. We sat down to talk to him about it. So, Tom, take me back to the moment that you got the diagnosis. It hits you like a bomb, does it not?
Well, there wasn't really a moment. It kind of crept up on me, really, because I had spoken to several health professionals before that and learned a little bit. And when it was finally confirmed by a neurologist, I'd already been talking about it for several weeks. So it was more like it wasn't really a smack in the head. It was more just like, okay, that's what it is, and a confirmation. But it wasn't devastating. It didn't knock me over. My first question was, what do I do now? What do I do?
Have you talked to other Parkinson's patients about that? I mean, is that a similar response to a lot of people? Is that the disease kind of creeps up on you, and then finally you're able to put a name to it?
I haven't spoken to a lot of people about it, but it is true that it does creep up on you, because it's the symptoms. I wrote it off as something else. At the time, I was teaching at two different colleges, had a number of side gigs, and was just busy all the time, always in a hurry. And I thought, well, I'm slurring my speech because I'm in a hurry. My handwriting is going bad because I'm in a hurry. Everything was because I was in a hurry. So I was finding other reasons to blame it on. Not that I was trying to avoid it, but I really had no clue. There was nothing in my family history, nothing that said to me it could be Parkinson's. So I really was looking for what it could be, never thinking that it could be Parkinson's.
Well, let's be honest, we're all getting older and we're getting these aches and pains, and you kind of just, you know, chalk it up to old age.
That too. So, and it coincided with my taking a break. I've been a runner since the 1970s, and after a number of marathons and half marathons and fixes and every race you can imagine, I took a break. I was kind of burned out on running, so I took a break. Unfortunately, it coincided with the onset of these symptoms, coincided with my return to running again, because it was difficult. It was hard to run again. And I thought, well, I just have to get back in shape again now. So I thought maybe I was just not as in shape as I was, and it would come back. And when it didn't come back as quickly as it had in the past, or to the level that it had in the past, then the red flags kind of went up.
So as you said that, I mean, you felt certain symptoms but didn't know what it was, and then you got the name associated with it, and then you said, okay, I have Parkinson's disease. Did you look for a support group and not find one?
I didn't really look right away. I was asking the doctors, the neurologists, and the professionals. I was asking them, what should I do? And I started reading. Finally, maybe half my journey into it, I started looking for a support group. And unfortunately, again, coincidence of things happening, that was when the pandemic was in full swing. And so all the in-person support groups had stopped. There are plenty out there. I don't want to say that there are no support groups. There are plenty of them out there, but they could not hold in-person meetings because of the pandemic.
Boy, and we have seen that actually in time and time again, you know, with all different types of situations, that these support groups are gone. And so in a way, you want to revive it in a high-tech form, basically a Zoom.
Right. And again, that's meant to be a temporary fix until we can meet together in person. But temporarily, I've started a Zoom group. We have a small group of maybe 5 to 7 people. And we try to meet every other Thursday. And just not only the Parkinson's people, but the caregivers, too. We had a caregiver sit on one of the first meetings. And that made me think, well, they're traveling the same road we are, and they're carrying a burden for the person in that room. They're carrying a lot of responsibility for the person that they're caring for. They worry, they have a lot of stress. They need support as well. So it kind of turned the Zoom meeting into supporting caregivers and people with Parkinson's.
And that's a great idea because, let's be honest, you're absolutely right. The caregivers, it's a journey for them as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's as tough, but it can be very, very difficult for them as well. So how does somebody get involved in your Zoom sessions?
Well, that's something I'm wondering if maybe they can contact you, because I didn't want to put my personal email and phone number and all that online on TV for obvious reasons. So I'm looking for a way to get people to join in that Zoom group. I wonder if they could, maybe you want to edit this out, but could they contact you and you contact me?
Tell you what, I got my name on the screen right now. That is the email that you can go to, and we'll leave it up there for a few moments and while you're talking about something else, because you really do want, it's kind of interesting, you don't want to go through this alone, but you don't want others to go through this alone. This is your as you said, this is your mission now in some ways.
Right. And my mantra, you might say, is based on two different commercials that I used to see. One said, be all that you can be. Another one said, you can't win unless you play. So be all you can be. I want to emphasize you. Be all that you can be. Not the person you once were, not me, not anyone else that you read about or hear about or see interviews from. Be all that you can be. Everyone has a different level. Everyone, you've got Michael Fox who was diagnosed at 20, and that's the thing about it. Michael Fox was diagnosed at 29 years old. Alan Alda at 80. It's everything in between. The diagnosis, the symptoms, is very, very, very individual for every person. So my point is, be all that you can be. You can be the best you can be. If that means getting out and running, walking, biking, great. If it means using a YouTube has a lot of movement classes designed specifically for Parkinson's people. If you want to get online and watch one of those where you're sitting in a chair and just moving arms and legs and doing some smaller movements, do that then. But be all that you can be, not someone else, not even the person you used to be. You're not the person anymore. And that's just a fact. So you got to deal with it and do it. The other part of you can't win unless you play is you got to get out there and try. You got to try. And again, I'm speaking from a position of a person who has the ability to keep walking and running and biking. Sort of. Not like I used to at all. I probably won't ever do a marathon again. I'm working, trying to do the big. But it's not about what I can do, it's about what you can do. And unless you try, unless you play, you can't win.
Well, and that is, let's be honest, that's very inspirational. And also, I mean, it underlines another thing is that any support you can get or give is so vitally important. And I wanted to point out that Parkinson's Moving Day is coming up May 22nd. I know you wanted to talk about that. And that is based in this particular instance, that's in Chicago, is it not?
Right, it's in Chicago. The nearest one to the Quad Cities that I could find is in Chicago. They are going back and forth between making it virtual, as they did in 2020, or make it a real walking thing. If they make it a real physically participating thing, then you can go to Parkinson's. Well, it's called the website is movingdaywalk.org. Movingdaywalk.org. Go there and you get all the information. I'm planning to go to Chicago. I would like to have one here in the Quad Cities. So I'm going to go to Chicago, do that one, learn all I can, and hopefully next year, try to get one going here in the Quad Cities. And it's a team thing where you gather a team of either physical or financial supporters, and they pledge so much per mile. If you walk however many miles you walk or run or whatever, however you get through the mile, then there's how much money you make, as with so many other similar events. So that's what it is, and it's May 22nd, as you said, in Chicago. I'm going to go and do it, and I'll try to bring it back here. But in the meantime, if people want to support me, that would be great as well.
That's Tom Vaccaro. And to learn more, just type Parkinson's Quad Cities in your Google search bar. Details on the disease and help that you can get. on the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.